Welcome to the Sword and Board Warhammer podcast, something new, something exciting. I'm your host, Rob Peche. I've done a lot of podcasting in a very different context to this one, but life is all about having fun and doing different things, and that is certainly what I get to do with the guys at Sword and Board. So I am very excited to be involved in this podcast about a game that I just love so much, and that is Warhammer. We're going to do a lot of interesting things on this show. We're going to really dig into the community and understand how to get you onto the tabletop. I often think of the community at Sword and Board as what you might find at church, for example. It really has become a community away from home for me, really. Funnily enough, co-founder Brennan Healy is on this podcast, and he was introduced to Warhammer on Church Street in Liverpool. Kind of a funny link there, and we'll dig into that in more detail on this podcast, of course. Stephen Vysink, his initial interest in the game was digital rather than the models. He actually went from gaming onto tabletop, so a great story there as well. And today, this duo run, in my opinion, South Africa's best Warhammer store. Lots of other stuff there as well, like trading card games and board games and other hobby stuff. But we will be focusing on Warhammer in this podcast. So Brennan, Steve, welcome. Thank you for agreeing to do this with me and to embark on this project. I'm pretty excited about it, stoked to just create some cool content for the South African Warhammer community, and most of all, to just help people make that leap from looking at the cabinet to actually getting their own stuff on the table.
Cool, thank you for having us.
Brennan, I'm going to start with you here because I had a pretty similar backstory to you, actually, in terms of being just enthralled by the tabletop models from a pretty early age. I did play Magic as a kid. My local store was in Edenvale up in Joburg, long time ago now. But they did also have Warhammer, and they had some very loud players there. I must say that was one of my overarching memories, actually. Just people making a lot of noise, throwing dice, clearly having fun, which is kind of the point, right? It really did look awesome. I could never afford to play it as a kid, though, and got to high school, and it was just one of those things that I always had on my bucket list to maybe get back to one day. And when I eventually did get back into Magic, at least in 2024, I actually remember Googling, okay, where can I play Magic? And I was astonished to find a place so close to where I live. I came and visited you guys at Sword, and there's that display cabinet you have at the top of the stairs. I think that's probably got to be your best selling effort because there's a lot of really beautiful stuff in there. And Brennan, I think it's your fault, actually. It was your Nurgle army that really caught my eye in that cupboard. Great Unclean One and a few others as well. Those are your models, as I came to learn. I still haven't managed to beat you with my Iron Jaws, unfortunately, with my orcs, but perhaps that'll happen at some point or with one of the other armies that I'm building. But that display cabinet, that is a tried and trusted method. It was, I suppose, my entry to Warhammer there. Not too different to your backstory, actually, because when you were a kid in Liverpool, you were there looking at models that you desperately wanted to own and paint one day, and then eventually you're able to actually pull the trigger on that, just like I was in the last couple of years. So let's start with you as we understand more about the Sword and Board community. Tell us about the backstory, how you went from being a kid in Liverpool in the UK to being a Warhammer player in South Africa.
I first discovered Warhammer at my local games workshop in Church Street in Liverpool. I fell in love with the models, but as probably a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, didn't really have the bucks to enjoy the hobby the way it's meant to be. As I got a little older, you know, you start getting a few birthday monies and Christmas monies and little jobs, and you start to build up your collection. And started with Warhammer Fantasy Battles, probably around 1996. My first army was Orcs and Goblins. They've really come a long way since then.
Man of culture. Very nice.
Orcs and Goblins. It was a very different landscape back then. The better models were all metal models. The really rubbish models were all plastic. Now it's completely changed. The plastic models are a million times better than the metal models were back in the 90s. Moving to South Africa, I kind of kept the hobby going, but I had to pursue other dreams at that time. So I decided to get involved in civil engineering. Running Sword and Board is definitely a dream come true. And it's far more fulfilling to me than building roads and car parks for a living.
World building of a different kind, huh? You couldn't resist it.
Absolutely.
And it's great to have these hobbies. It's amazing how they are hobbies for life. I think that's one of the coolest things about them. I still play Magic with my dad to this day. My brother can also play. I play Warhammer with my brother. It's like one of the cool things that we get to do together and talk about, which is nice. And I love the backstory, Brennan. And like you say, it takes time to build up a little bit of cash to just get the models, to really start. That is one of the challenges with Warhammer, but if you do it the right way, you can absolutely make it work. You can build up over time. There are clever ways to do that. maybe that'll be a good topic for a podcast down the line, actually.
Absolutely.
But let's maybe get Stephen involved here. Stephen, 2004, you were playing computer games, eh?
Yeah, indeed, sir.
Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah.
Dawn of War.
Dawn of War. I was one of those kids that used to go to their friends' houses with their PCs and set up for LANs and play all the multiplayer games of StarCraft and Dawn of War and Call of Duty and all those things. So my real introduction into the Warhammer land, which would really be from the Dawn of War computer game when it first came out, absolutely fell in love with the lore. Ever since I was a kid, you know, you're always building plastic submarines and aircraft and hanging them in your rooms. I had a love for modeling from back then, but to put it on a tabletop and play a game, that was it for me. After about a year of playing the game, a friend of mine said, oh, do you know there's actually miniatures for this game? You can actually play it on tabletop. And then we went down Durban Road all the way down to this tiny little hole-in-the-wall shop, bought my first box, and it was love ever since then.
Yeah, that's how these things go. In 2004, I think I was playing Age of Empires 2. Kind of funny, actually, because today I still play Age of Empires 2 online. I started literally a few months ago again. Weirdly huge international community for it, in fact. I'm like the 37,000th ranked player in the world. Lots of upside, at least, for me there, if nothing else. Stephen, I suspect you might have been a bit better than that at 40k Dawn of War. You are definitely a lot better than that at 40k on the tabletop. And Age of Sigmar, and I think every other version of Warhammer that we know and love as well. So we have one of you who went from a kid looking at models and the other one who went from digital. Both of you landed up on tabletop anyway. And I guess that's really a cool way to just frame this hobby because there are so many different ways to get involved in it. Some just absolutely love the lore. For others, it's just the gameplay. They couldn't care less about the painting. And I think for most people, it's sort of a combination of all these things, albeit in different mixes. And moving on then, perhaps from the backstory to how you guys actually found each other, that would have been by the time you were in South Africa, Brennan. If I understand the story correctly, I think you found each other through Facebook, Stephen.
That sounds right. We put out a little community post, say, in HME, basically saying we've got a little Warhammer community going at a friend's house, basically at the lounge in like a little dining room sort of area. We set up two or three tables and we said, hey, if anybody's in the area wants to come through and jam, Brennan walked through the door with his Blood Angels and pretty much beat us all up.
Nice. Brennan was not the 37,000th Warhammer player in Cape Town, was he?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. Brennan, why did you bully the people? You didn't even go in slowly. You just full tilt, like an orc player. Proud of you.
Blood Angels was a bit different back then, that's for sure. I managed to convert Stephen over to Warhammer Fantasy Battles. We didn't stick with the 40k for very long, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah.
Very nice.
You got your Chaos Warriors going and your Ogres, Ogre Maw Tribes. So it was good fun.
Brennan was very convincing. He's like, he has an army. Come, we're going to go play in the Nationals. I was like, okay.
You didn't do too bad, if I remember correctly.
No, it was middle table. I was quite happy. That also just cemented it, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. And was it difficult at that stage to actually find other players and to just bring the communities together? If you're looking for players on Facebook, it feels like it perhaps wasn't that obvious to just go to your local store and find people. Obviously, today we have WhatsApp groups. We have all that kind of thing, which helps tremendously. But that wasn't exactly the dark ages either at that stage, right? I mean, what year was this where you guys actually met?
About to make a guess, Steve, around 2010-ish?
2009, 2010.
Soccer World Cup vibes, Shakira, Waka Berry Frozen Yogurt, and you guys playing Warhammer all at the same time. I like it. Was it just that much harder then to find these local communities, find the typical game store as we know and love it today?
I would say that the hobby stores that existed at that time definitely helped point us in the right direction, but they didn't seem to manage the communities as well as hobby stores do today with tools such as WhatsApp. I also remember there being an online site called Warhammer Generals, ran by some chap up in Joburg. He had a site, so that was very strong for arranging events and tournaments, and also the secondhand markets, if I remember correctly. Sadly gone the way of the dodo.
Playing Warhammer, it's a bit like being a cat person, right? You just try and convert people all the time. It's like, you know, have you tried having a cat? You know how great they are? Just try it once, you'll be converted. It's a little bit like that. And I must say, there are some very, very cool people who I've met through these communities, but it's about people who commit to something. They actually say, well, I'm going to do a hobby where there's a big time investment. And I really have to work hard, actually, to get up the curve on this thing. I remember when I first got into it, my fiance was watching me prep for games day, and I'm sitting there with my notebook and I'm, you know, reading the rules and I'm writing down my notes and learning everything. And she's like, are you having fun? Is this fun? And I'm thinking they're going, I'm having the absolute time of my life. Thank you very much. It's great. But I can understand that the level of commitment is unusual, right? It's not like a hobby where you can just pick it up and you go. It's not quite that straightforward. So well done, I think, on just building this community together of all these crazy people.
For sure. Absolutely. I've got a huge friend group from the hobbies over the years. And you're right. All of these hobbies do speak to people in different ways, whether it's listening to the lore, reading the books, the novels, painting for fun, painting whole complete armies, high-level artistic painting, trying to really capture the magic of some of these models. There's a lot of different facets for different people. The people that stay the course, they tend to enjoy more than one of the options in front of them.
Yes, and more than one army, as both of you have witnessed with my slightly incredible collection of future projects, my pile of shame. Won't talk about that too much. And what we will talk about instead, moving right along from all the models I still need to build and paint, is in 2014, you guys had now been playing together for a few years. Stephen, you had tapped, as I understand it, into your digital background at that stage to launch an online store. Brennan, he had some challenges logging in just to do this podcast, so I can see, Stephen, why you were the guy who went online first. No, I'm just kidding. But you did go and say, well, let me do an online store. But then, as I do understand the story, it was Brennan a few years later who basically approached you and said, listen, we need a store. We need a place where people can play and see the stuff and hold it and touch it and everything else and get seduced by the excellent cabinet of models. So I want to start with you, Stephen. Let me ask you this. In terms of starting the online store, you obviously spotted an opportunity here to turn something you loved into a business. So what was that initial spark? What was that initial decision? What made you think, okay, let me start online? What gap did you spot that made you go for this?
What really actually started me going online was applying a miniatures-based game called Infinity. It's a sci-fi, skirmish-based little game, but there was no store stock in it in the country, and the only way that you could get it was ordering from overseas. And there was a few friends that I had that were interested, obviously, from playing the Warhammer and that sort of environment. So we decided, oh, let's get together and start placing some orders. And that grew and grew. And then there were some clients in Joburg that were interested in it. So eventually I decided to put the catalog online. And that became Sword and Board's first online store.
Very nice. So the name was Sword and Board from the start?
Indeed it was.
Okay, fantastic. Well done, Brennan, for coming and saying, hey, where are the boards? Because it would have been a bit bleak if it was only online. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
It worked out perfectly, though.
Did rather.
Because obviously Sword and Board, Stephen and Brennan, you know, S&B.
Also true.
Yeah.
I hadn't actually even realized that. It does work out rather well.
It did work, yeah.
Was that why you approached him? You were like, listen, you've got the S, you need the B. And also we need somewhere to play Warhammer and Infinity and whatever else. Let's make a store.
Well, what actually happened in my life, I've been running a civil company that I started in 2012, right through till 2018. In Cape Town, at that time, we were struggling with the water shortages, drought season in 2018. We also had a change of government coming. I think Jacob Zuma was on his way out. A lot of contracts were drying up. So I was actually looking at my business at that time, saying to myself, do I hang in here or should I make a change? Coincidentally, at that time, Stephen had started a little hobby store in Ordesek called Limitless Games with another friend of his. Anyway, I was watching this business with big eyes and I could see potential in it. I could see Stephen was pulling some serious effort. And that was when I approached Stephen and said, I would like to do Sword and Board with you. We didn't fully know the name at that point, but we quickly got onto Sword and Board. And I said, I want you to come and do this with me. I think Stephen realized it was a great opportunity. The partnership's been brilliant. He's brought some fantastic skill sets to the team that we are. As you can see, computer skill sets that I completely lack. It's been a fantastic partnership.
Stephen, did Brennan give you a choice or did he go in like an orc player and just basically force your hand and kidnap you?
It was the McDonald's milkshake. It definitely did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, look, you got to use whatever tactics you can. I mean, it's cheap at the price.
No, I never said no. No, Brennan was quite persistent. I didn't give him an answer straight away. I obviously knew Brennan for a couple of years over there. He's been running his own businesses and stuff. So it made perfect sense. And what Brennan brings to the table as far as customer service and openness and pulling people into games is something that is definitely not one of my strong points. So he made a perfect business partner from that point. So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are a good team, and that is what business is about. So how quickly did it actually become your full-time gig? Because that's something I've always wondered about. If there's one thing I can geek out on in addition to Warhammer, it's certainly finance, and maybe just wearing that hat. You know, was it a full-time gig basically straight away? Because that's always the hardest part with a small business, right? Is normally you have to suck it up for a while and earn a pretty horrible amount of money, and then suddenly it starts to actually be like, wait, this thing is going to work? You know, there must have been some pretty scary initial times, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The business couldn't provide a salary for either one of us for the first 18 months. Only after 18 months did it afford me as a salary, and Stephen was actually working more in the background and had a full-time job. So it was only 3 years later Stephen actually came on full-time. But we understood these problems, and we knew that it takes a bit of time. Many, many hours in the first 18 months, night shifts, and it was a lot of effort. But yeah, it's paid off. I mean, the store is going from strength to strength. We've got a great community, and that's really why we do it. We just want people to have that place to go in, kick back midweek, blow off some steam, roll some dice, have some fun, you know?
Midweek, weekends, sometimes a sneaky one in December. Eh? So Stephen, you had to do the sort of background work for a while, and then that must have been another brave decision to say, listen, I'm going to now jump in full time. Like, this thing's ready for me. That would have been, I'm sure, a big milestone.
No, of course. I mean, there's always a risk that you've got to play. Obviously, Brendan took the bigger risk, closing one company to start another one where I still had a full-time job. That's what you do. You put the hours in, you put the effort in. My job was actually involved in the IT field quite a lot. I was involved in procurement and sourcing product from overseas and bringing it into the country, which is quite a vital task of what we do at Sword and Board now.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of our suppliers are actually overseas, and the skills that I learned from that is what I apply today, you know? So that allows us to bring in all these wonderful and unique products, you know?
Absolutely, because as much as it is fun, it's also a business that pays for families and kids and the rest. It needs to work, which it really does. And I think one of the smart things you've done, in as much as this will be a Warhammer-focused podcast series, you haven't built your business exclusively around Warhammer. That's a really important element of this, I would think, because you can actually play a whole bunch of things at the store. In fact, sometimes I go, well, okay, it's much more than sometimes I go to the store. I probably come and bug you at least once a week. But when I do go, I almost always spot something new on the shelf that I've never seen before. And I'm not just talking about boxes of models. I'm talking entire game systems. It's just always something new. It goes way beyond just Warhammer and Magic and all the stuff that people know, like Pokemon, whatever else. So perhaps for those looking for a hobby destination in Cape Town, and here we don't at least currently mean model airplanes, trains, submarines and all that. You can do that at other kinds of hobby stores. What will they get at Sword and Board? What does that experience actually entail?
You come into Sword and Board, really, the first thing you're going to see is the models that are based on display. You're going to start to see the miniature gaming world from that sort of aspect. We really try to encapsulate all different types of hobbies into our, we call it the third space, really. You're going to get the miniature wargaming sort of side. We've got the card game sort of side. We've got the board games. We even do some D&D. We really try to cover all aspects with, yeah, maybe models and stuff coming fairly soon. That is something we are looking into. But yeah, that's it.
Interesting. Look, that cabinet I can definitely speak to. That was my exact experience going up the stairs and seeing that cabinet. And I love taking my kids there because they thoroughly enjoy the models in the cabinets as well. Although my little girl did call a dragon cute the other day, which I'm not sure was the look that the painter of that dragon was actually going for at the time. At least she was slightly scared of your Chaos Knights. I think those are yours, Stephen. So I suppose, you know, there's that. She didn't think that they were cute, which would be kind of weird. And my little boy just basically loves all of it. I mean, he is practically an orc at heart. So that does make a lot of sense. Having wrestled him enough times, I can confirm that. And yes, lots of different systems there at Sword and Board. I just think it creates a place that is, for many people, practically a sanctuary, I think, from the chaos of everyday life. And one thing we definitely do need to talk about as part of this journey, something we haven't covered yet, there was a time in the world when dear Papa Nurgle gave us those blessings of COVID. Must have been a really tough time for the business. It feels so long ago now, and there were many tests along the way as you built Sword and Board, I don't doubt that, but that was surely among the scariest of the lot.
I totally agree. If I'd kept my previous business in civil engineering, I think COVID would have caused a lot of trouble for me. Yellow planter, digger loaders, and all kinds of equipment that was higher purchase, and basically all that industry coming to a standstill, but the banks still want their money. It would have put a lot of pressure on me. But now on the flip side, starting the hobby store, the government turned around and told everybody, stay home and occupy yourself. Hobbies is something that people like to do. You've got lots of time on your hands. I think COVID actually took a lot of people to online shopping. Stephen had done such a great job on the web store. I think it really, really helped being in the hobby space. COVID kind of helped us, to be honest. Hopefully kept a lot of people sane while they were locked up at home.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Stephen, I'm keen to get your thoughts as well, because I would imagine it was less about could people play in person and more about could they at least sit at home and paint and actually get through the grey pile of shame and then buy some more. I mean, that's what I'm hearing from Brennan, basically. And you would agree with that?
That's exactly it. But what was really eye-opening was the community and the support that Sword and Board received from our community during that time. It was absolutely incredible. People were buying online vouchers on the web store with no intention of using it. They just said, yeah, we hope you guys are around when this all lifts up.
That's amazing, right?
That was really something special. It really makes what we do really worth it. Yes, we get salaries at the end of the month. Yes, the business is growing. But when you get that sort of feedback from the community, or you see the kid that walks up the staircase and the first time sees the miniatures in this wall, or the guy that walks up and he's been trying to find this box forever and he sees this box and he literally does a jump for joy in the middle of the shop. Those sort of moments definitely make it worth it. Eh?
Yeah, you're right. It is those moments. I have this great recollection of bringing my little guy around one Wednesday afternoon. And there were two people there playing a game of 40K as usual. And the little one kind of ran up to go and look at the models as he always does. And one of the players, I wish I knew who they were actually, but one of them said to my little one, do you want to roll this one? And I'll never forget, he was like, you know, me? This is the most amazing thing you can be asked as a five-year-old is, do you want to roll the dice for this guy's epic space marines attacking that guy's tank or whatever the case was? And so they told him, well, you know, he needed to roll a certain number. And of course, he didn't roll it. But they just made it up that he had gone ahead and just destroyed this tank anyway. And let me tell you, I heard that story all the way home in the car. You know, the classic, Daddy, did you see I rolled and I destroyed the tank? And just mass excitement. It was fantastic. And just core childhood fun memories. That's the kind of stuff I want to expose him to. We're in such a digital world that to just get that escape, to go and do something with your hands, go and stand across a table from someone, roll some dice, talk some nonsense, make friends, it's a wonderful thing. And I think specifically you've created a place to play, not just a place to buy your Warhammer and your other games and whatever else you want. There's so much to look at on the shelves. There's lots to consider. There's lots to expose yourself to, which is very cool for anyone in the hobby. So what we'll be doing on this podcast season every couple of months, just recording something like this with you guys, with members of the community, just helping people get into the hobby and make that leap, you know, that journey from looking up into that cabinet to actually saying, okay, I'm going to buy something, I'm going to build it, I'm going to paint it, and I'm going to get it on the tabletop. I'm going to learn the game, roll some dice, make some friends. It's not as scary as you might think it is. It does require effort, don't get me wrong, but it is very, very doable. And there's a fantastic supportive community, so the reward on the other side is immense. And I think for anyone who really has any kind of passing interest in either a strategy game or fantasy storytelling or sci-fi storytelling, it's pretty hard not to want to go from that into finding out something about Warhammer. And you'll probably find something that you really, really enjoy. You'll find an army that resonates with you for whatever reason. And maybe one of the last things I just want to ask you on this first episode is, Brennan, I'll start with you, then I'll ask Stephen. In terms of people who, when they get into the hobby for the first time, they come to the store, they start asking the questions, what do you find is that initial aha, light bulb moment where you can see they've gone, yes, I'm going to do this thing?
I always start by asking people where they found out about Warhammer. What media did they discover Warhammer? I'm also then very curious to know, did they look up some armies? Have they sort of shortlisted what faction captures their imagination? From there, I will talk to them about what pieces in that factions are the exciting ones, which ones maybe have some backstory, have some lore, have some firepower on the tabletop. And then we see, as you say, where the eyes light up, we'll take it from there.
Absolutely. Stephen, what's your experience with that?
It's 100%. What I really enjoy seeing that happens fairly often in our store is customer will come in. It's generally a male customer will come in. He'll look at an army. Oh, he really likes this army. They toss and turn about color schemes and we help them with painting advice and everything. You can see when they leave, they've got such an excitement. Like they've discovered something really incredible. And then they come back the next day and the wife's like, I want to spot this army. They do it together as a couple, which is absolutely incredible. And we are actually starting to see a few more female gamers now actually coming and joining it as well. Generally a wife or girlfriend. They really get stuck into it. They really are enjoying the hobby. So it's really something special. And the nice thing about this hobby, it's not like something that you always have to do at the shop. Because you are building models, because you are painting models, that's something you can do at home. You can do it together with a loved one. I do it in the evenings after I've had a hectic day at work. I come and sit some music on and I sit and paint models as a way to unwind. So that's another part of the hobby altogether. You know, the playing it in the community is one section of it. Yes, it's a very big section of it. But the fact that you can also do it by yourself is really, really cool.
I agree with that. And something I really like about it as well is the flexibility, as you say, because one of the really good things about it, and unlike a lot of other hobbies, Warhammer doesn't actually cost you money on an ongoing basis. If you need to just put your models away in the cupboard for a month, that's fine. It doesn't cost you a cent. It's not a golf membership running in the background. One of the best things actually about Warhammer as a person who just has normal adult stuff going on is if you have a 3 or 4 month period where you can make a lot of progress, then go for it. Hit the accelerator pedal. Then if you have a busy time at work or you've got family commitments or whatever it is, put it away for a month. That's also okay. It's not going to cost you anything. In fact, it's going to look pretty cool in your cabinet. It only really costs you money as you are buying stuff because you're building new things, which is, in any event, a fun thing to do. So that's just a very cool element of the hobby, very practical. And I think one of the things that makes it so friendly for people with just normal adulting type responsibilities. I think we probably do need to end it there for episode one. I think it gives a great backstory to Sword and Board. I think from my side, if you do have a strategic mind, if you feel like you have a little bit of creative flair, perhaps, I'm confident that you would not be disappointed getting involved in this thing. You'll make some great friends. You'll give yourself a good break from the rat race, unless you choose to play Skaven, in which case you're actively choosing the rats in Age of Sigmar. Very cool army. Good luck to you. Very fun to paint. I think they look amazing. And in the rest of this podcast season, we're going to do some really interesting stuff around just the different ways that you can play Warhammer. There are a lot of different ways. 40K, Age of Sigmar, Kill Team, lots of others, tips on how to get started, and how to make the most of the hobby. Our work here is going to be focused on just getting more South Africans to play this game, not just in Cape Town. You can play anywhere in the country. Obviously, you can buy from Sword and Board anywhere in South Africa. There is an online store. But if you are in Cape Town, come and check out Sword and Board. It's a great store.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Ciao.